Tuscaloosa. Are you guys upsizing, downsizing, looking for college housing, or even relocating for your job right here to Tuscaloosa? If that's the case, then you need to contact Celeste Hagler, owner and operator of First Class Real Estate South Home Group, right here in Tuscaloosa. She can help you with the buying, selling, and investment needs throughout the state of Alabama. You can contact Celeste at 205-861-5698. Reach out to Celeste again at 205-861-5698 and schedule a consultation to discuss your real estate goals and to live where you love in the state of Alabama. Week 4 of college football began last night. Week 4 of the SEC begins tomorrow, and Peter Burns will join us to do a preview of all of the SEC games this weekend and a review of the first 3 weekends of the season, and then we will be giving you a little bit of insight on some of the games that you should bet on this week and some that you should stay away from, as Tim Murray from Las Vegas is going to join us right here on this edition of the Stingray Show.
Are you sure?
It's Stephen, finally.
Too late on Thursday night. You already started the weekend. Keep rolling, brother. This is great.
It's finally Friday, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome inside another edition of the Stingray Show. Yes, I had a little bit too much fun last night watching college football, my friend. And, hey, it is the fun Friday, and, hey, we are allowed to make mistakes.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I'll say this, Stephen. It hasn't been a bad week. It has been a very productive week. It's been a very long week, and I am running in on fumes. But, man, we have made it to the weekend, my friend.
We have. And, Heath, let's go on ahead and start the Stingray Show with something that we started here a few weeks ago, and that is this day in college football history. Today is September the 19th, and we are going to start in 1964. It is so odd to me that in college football, this day and age, we begin back in August with the week 0 games. Back in 1964, they started their season on the 19th of September, and the Arkansas Razorbacks started its national championship run when it knocked off Oklahoma State there in Fayetteville by a score of 14-10, and this team would go on to finish the season undefeated and win a national championship for Arkansas and Frank Broyles.
You go back and look at that team. Jerry Jones played on that team. Yep. Jimmy Johnson was on that team.
Yes.
Frank Broyles was there. That is like Arkansas royalty when it comes to the tradition of that football program, to have all three of those guys on the same team.
Yes.
But, it's quite interesting to see Arkansas. Arkansas has always considered itself a national contender, but they don't ever win national championships in football.
All right, Heath, I'm going to be extremely disappointed in you if you cannot tell me what happened September the 19th of 75.
Oh, geez, I haven't been born yet, man. I'm like 2 months out from being born.
Dude, this was major, and there was a movie made about it.
I mean, first thing that comes to mind is Rudy. Yeah?
Yep. The real-life Rudy plays for Notre Dame September the 19th of 1975 in a game against Georgia Tech.
I always thought, you know, the movie will do that to you. I thought it was the last game of the season, but clearly it wasn't. So, wow. Steven, Rudy is one of my all-time favorite movies.
Yeah.
Not just sports movies, just one of my all-time favorites, period. Love that movie.
Now, when we move to September the 19th of 1998, can you tell me what major upset happened here in the SEC?
In 1998?
Yes. The sixth-ranked team beat the second-ranked team in overtime.
I'm going to guess that Tennessee finally beat Florida.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah, there you go. 20, I actually remember that game, man.
20-17. The winner of this early season SEC showdown would control their destiny to the newly formed BCS. Florida took an early lead, but the Vols fought back, forcing overtime.
Yeah, if you go back and look at the history, especially Steve Spurrier against Tennessee, oh, my goodness gracious. Steve Spurrier not only owned them, he embarrassed them and humiliated them, poked fun of them, made fun of them. It reminded Peyton he was 0-4 when Peyton was only 0-3 against he just humiliated Tennessee year in and year out. So that was a big upset because everyone always knew that one of the best games to start the season, Tennessee and Florida, and Florida was going to beat them. But there was even jokes on sports talk shows, Stephen. People would call in like, oh, I'm so depressed. I heard from the IRS. I got to pay property tax on Neyland Stadium because the Gators on the Vols, baby.
Yes.
And it was absolutely hilarious. But, yeah, it was a big deal for Tennessee to beat Florida in anything. And not much has changed with that rivalry. We've seen Tennessee get some wins here and there now. But, man, for forever, it was bad blow. When you see a top five team or a top 10 team and they just get humiliated every single year by the same team, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Heath, to wrap up college football history, it has been a very trying time over the last few weeks here in America. We need more stories like this. In 2003, on September the 19th, a heroic return at Nevada. Nevada defeated San Jose State 42-30 in a game that featured an emotional return of the Spartans' punt coverage player, Neil Perry, having lost his right leg below the knee earlier in the season in a collision in 2000. Perry received a standing ovation when he appeared in the game on a punt return wearing a prosthetic leg.
You know, Steven, that was a very touching moment. Yeah. You always hate it when you see a young person lose a limb. You hate to see a young person suffer or hurt or do anything. And for all of those, they never get that moment where everybody stands and cheers at one time. And when it does happen, it is special. And Perry got that. And so you just hate to see bad things happen to anybody, old, young, middle-aged, whatever. There's plenty of evil in this world, and we've got to defeat it. But, you know, evil didn't have anything to do with this. It was bad circumstances.
Yes.
And you always like to see not only the good, the goodwill, and the fortitude rise in people, and they overcome those situations. And how can you not stop and applaud that?
Heath, let me also say this as we go to break. Just think about how difficult it would be to play college football or any style of football with a prosthetic leg.
Yeah, I mean, football's a tough sport
as it is.
And it's hard enough to make it to the college level. So many people think they can. Yeah. Not many have ever made it. and not only making it on the field.
Yes.
And doing it with one leg. I mean, it's a wonderful story.
All right. So that is going to wrap up our first segment and college football history. On deck, behind the scenes, is Peter Burns of the SEC Network. He will join me on the other side of this break to talk about the SEC season so far and a preview of the games tomorrow. And then we will be joined by Tim Murray to talk about betting in the final two segments. That's on the other side of the break. And you're listening to the Stingray Show. Peter Burns on deck right after this. It's college football season, and what goes well with college football events? And if you have an event coming up and needs catering, let Certified Chef Jamie and the Coker Market do the event for you. Here are just some of the things that Coker Market have to offer for your catering needs. Pulled pork by the pound, chicken tenders by the dozen, smoked wings by the dozen, or a half a slab of ribs or a full slab of ribs. Contact Jamie and the Coker Market today, or better yet, go by there off of County Road 140 and let them help you take the hassle out of the catering needs for your event this upcoming football season. How would you like to live where you love in the state of Alabama? Whether it is your upsizing, downsizing, retiring at the beach, or relocating for your job, then you are going to want to contact Celeste Hagler, owner of First Class Real Estate South Home Group, with brokers in Tuscaloosa, Orange Beach, and Huntsville. They can help you with the buying, selling, and investment needs throughout the state of Alabama. You can contact Celeste at 205-861-5698. Once again, that is 205-861-5698, and schedule a consultation to discuss your real estate goals anywhere across the state of Alabama. For over 100 years, the Bank of Moundville has been a name clients can trust. The Bank of Moundville is more than just a bank. They're your neighbors, your friends, and your community partners. Their unique approach to financial education has always centered around families. They believe that financially strong homes today lay the foundation for a brighter future for tomorrow's generation. You can call them today at 205-371-2227. Once again, that is 371-2227 to schedule an appointment to build your financial security. The Bank of Moundville is a member FDIC and an equal housing lender.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Southbound on Highway 69 from Skyland Boulevard to Old Greensboro Road, it's a 7-minute drive time. West on McFarland from Jack Warner Parkway to Coker, it's a 13-minute drive. And if you're traveling on eastbound I-20, heading from Foster's to McFarland, it's an 8-minute drive. With your Tuscaloosa traffic now, I'm Lisa Bakke.
You're listening to the home of Alabama Crimson Tide. 100.9.
Monday, I'll be hurting with my head in a vice. Tuesday, I'll be wondering if I'll ever survive. Wednesday and a Thursday, I'll be slowly tuning in. Friday, I'll be revving up my motor again.
Peter, how you doing, man?
Doing good, man. Ready for another big week, to say the least.
I know, dude. Can you believe it's already week four?
No, I don't even like talking about it like that. It upsets me, to be honest with you. Like, it's going way too fast.
All right. So, have you been able to get to any of the campuses or anything so far this fall?
Was down in Baton Rouge last week for the LSU Florida game. So that was a good game. If you're an LSU Tiger, man, that defense looked damn good, to say the least. So,
but man, there's so many issues on that offense, though.
Yeah, I think they're pretty fixable, though. Like, I think right now you don't have to score 40 points a game. You know, I mean, think about the old school LSU Tigers. And I think they're definitely talented enough. It's just a matter of, you know, when that thing starts clicking. So I think they'll be all right.
Okay. All right, man. Well, I'm going to pull us down. We're going to get going, okay?
You got it.
Welcome back inside the Staying Ray Show. Hope all is well with everybody. And now let's get to our first guest of the evening to do a full recap of the first 3 weeks of the season. And then to preview the games on Saturday, here is SEC Network's own and LSU alum, Peter Burns. Peter, how are things with you up there at the SEC Network?
I'm actually sad because when you say it that way, Stingray, we're talking about, what, 3 weeks already in the books going into week four. So, it's kind of one of those deals where it's like you go on vacation, you're looking forward to it over and over and over again. And then finally, you know, you're like, oh, my gosh, this thing's almost over. So I'm enjoying it right now. Some incredible storylines, including what we saw last weekend and then now coming into this weekend.
So, Peter, through the first 3 weeks of the season, what has been the biggest shocker for you, both good and bad?
I think good is LSU's defense. You know, I talked to people down there in Baton Rouge, Stingray, the last couple of, in the off season, and it kind of reminded me of how people talked about LSU's offense going into the 2019 season, yeah. You know, and then, of course, that was a historic offense. Now, I don't know how historic this defense will be, but so far it absolutely looks the part. So, you know, I think that's one of the biggest positive takeaways. I'll include Oklahoma and John Mateer, the way that they've looked so far. I think that they've been a great storyline. And even Vanderbilt right now. I think Vanderbilt, you know, they just look complete. And I had Clark Lee, the Vandy coach, on my show this morning. And every time I talk to him, I walk away more impressed of what he is as a man, as a coach, and what they're building right now. And, you know, and that's what he said. He said, we finally have depth. And there's a distinct chance that team is undefeated when they face Alabama coming up in a couple of weeks. And if that's the case, I mean, my goodness, can you set it any higher for, you know, T-Town for the revenge of, Diego Pavia coming back into town?
I know, man. All right. What about the negative? What about some things that have really disappointed you?
Yeah. I mean, obviously, Zach Calzada in Kentucky not getting off to a better start than they have in the last couple of years is a little troubling. I would also say just South Carolina as a whole, you know, there was a lot of publicity around Lenore Sellers, and rightfully so. It's a great young man, but I think they just lost so much last year, and we were trying to figure out, all right, you know, is that offense going to click? It really has it. I think another one is Arch Manning right now. I think there was almost an unfair expectation. I had been saying from all offseason that we needed to pump the brakes. And I think Arch can be good. But, you know, for everybody saying that he was going to be the greatest quarterback in the history of modern civilization, I thought that was a little bit hyperbole. So and now he still has another couple of weeks to get right and fix it. But I think those are probably the biggest kind of quote-unquote negative takeaways I have so far.
Okay, Peter, you talked about last week that you were in LSU for that game. Talk about their opponent, the Florida Gators. Talk about the body language from Florida and especially Billy Napier after that loss, please.
Yeah, I mean, you know, from not all the players doing the alma mater at the end to just, you know, even, you know, hearing it, you know, stories about the locker room just kind of erupting that the defense is upset with the offense right now. There's just a lot of issues that Billy Napier has to get addressed. And it's not unlike last year when they did get it addressed. The problem is last year is that, you know, DJ Lagway was healthy. We're not seeing a healthy DJ Lagway coming in. So I think that's a big issue that they have right now. I mean, look, defensively, they've only given up 2 touchdowns in 3 weeks. That's good enough to win games. You know, their defense was good enough to hold LSU, hold South Florida. But the problem is right now that, you know, offensively, the play calling looks just off. And DJ Lagway, who, I mean, it goes to show you, you know, not having spring practice, not having a full fall practice hurt his development as a quarterback. And I think that's what we're seeing right now. And it also doesn't help that they have one of the toughest schedules once again in all of college football.
All right. So when you look at the games on Saturday, which one catches your eye that it's like this one could be interesting?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, the headline, of course, is going to be Jackson Arnold returning to Norman, Oklahoma. And, you know, there's so much on the line for both of these teams right now because, you know, you look at Auburn and all of a sudden they win that game. Then you've got, you know, if you lose that game, let me take it the other side. If you lose that game next week, you've got at Texas A&M and then you face Georgia and Missouri.
Yeah,
that's not easy. So, you know, that's why you need to bank one of these road wins early. And on the flip side, if you're Oklahoma, you're sitting there going, all right, you know, we didn't let the guy that we let go, Jackson Arnold, come into our own place and beat us. And John Mateer and Ben Arbuckle have been a great 1-2 punch, kind of like Tim Beck and Jerry Kill working with Diego Pavia coming from New Mexico State. So I think that clearly is the number one on my list. I do think that it's a defensive battle. I think Auburn's defense has been slept on a little bit so far this season. And I just haven't seen a kind of a breakout passing game and from them. And again, who better to know the issues that Auburn or Jackson Arnold has than Brent Venables? Yeah. Brent Venables, one of the best defensive coordinators. And oh, by the way, Jackson Arnold was on his team last year. So he knows what he can and cannot do. He knows what looks give him some hell. And I think there's a chance to put him in a blender. But with that being said, I also think they should be able to run the ball as well. So I think that ends up being like a 20-17 game, yeah. 20-14. But ultimately, I think Oklahoma wins that one.
Okay. What about Arkansas coming off of the loss to Ole Miss? Now they step into the Liberty Bowl in a very tricky game with Memphis. And then looking ahead to next week, they've got Notre Dame coming in. This could potentially be a trap game for Arkansas against Memphis. How do you see it?
Yeah, I mean, I think because, you know, there's so many kind of recruiting ties in that area and people know, like, and Memphis has been a good team. So I don't think that this kind of shows up. And I think Arkansas right now, you know, they feel like if they don't fumble it late against Ole Miss, you know, they're one of the storylines. You know, Taylen Green's been playing extremely well. Bobby Petrino and them are on the same page. So, you know, defensively, they'd like to get better. But that Ole Miss or that Arkansas-Memphis game reminds me a lot of Tulane and Ole Miss. Yeah. Whereas, you know, as a fan, you look at it on paper and go, all right, you should beat them down pretty easy. But, you know, Ole Miss, you know, going to go back to Austin Simmons this week. Even though Trinidad Chambliss played so well last week against Arkansas. So I'm kind of curious to how that plays out. I mean, Lane Kiffin has already talked about John Summerall over at Tulane, going to be coaching in the SEC soon. So he knows that that is a really solid team, and both Memphis and both Tulane are gearing up for college football playoff runs. So, you know, frankly, these are like the worst opponents that SEC can have if you're talking group of six teams.
All right. And Peter, as we sit here, we are a week away from one of the marquee matchups early in this season. It is Alabama at Georgia. Yeah. Please give us a preview of that game as both teams are resting on a bye week to get ready for one another.
I said that I thought the best thing to happen to Alabama after week one was losing the way they did to Florida State, because now I think we look at Florida State as being a team that's pretty darn good, that, you know, that they have been, they're solid. This is not the 2-10 team last year, but it also showed them that you can't just put the Alabama brand and the Alabama helmet out there and expect that you're going to win football games. Like, those days are gone. Nobody's afraid of Alabama. In fact, they look at Alabama as almost an opportunity now. And I think you've seen that. Because I think that if Alabama beaten Florida State and they won 27-24, I don't know if they learned that lesson as harshly as they did in week one. And Georgia-Tennessee was a great game. I have so much respect for both Gunnar Stockton and truthfully, I got a lot of respect for Joey Aguilar, who I think is a much better upgrade and can run the offense a lot better than Nico Iamaleava. So, you know, to me, it's crazy to say that I think this is kind of a pick'em game right now. I know everybody's high on Georgia, but there are things that I don't think Georgia does well right now, including running the ball extremely well and playing good defense like we've seen in the past.
Right.
I think Alabama is very live in this. So I haven't broken it down as far as kind of like the numbers wise right now, but I think everybody's going to look at Alabama or look at Alabama and go, well, listen, what happened week one. Well, I think now the fact that, you know, they got a couple of weeks underneath their belt, I'm not picking Bama yet in the upset, but I would be shocked if that game wasn't a one-score game.
Yeah. All right. So, Peter, look, man, this has been an absolute blast. If you would let everybody know your schedule this weekend so that they can keep up with you and watch you on the SEC Network.
I'll be in studio all day Saturday. And another game, Stingray, we didn't talk about, I think Missouri really shows that they could still be a college football playoff contending team. So for me, I think Missouri shows everybody how good they are this week in that game up in Columbia against South Carolina.
So, Peter, look, man, thank you. Have a wonderful weekend there with Chris Dorying and all of the gang there at the SEC Network. We will tune in to see you, and we would love to catch up with you later on, my friend.
Thanks, buddy. Have a good weekend.
And, hey, I will leave you with this just for you, man. Go Tigers!
There you go. That's my man. Against Southeast Louisiana, I think LSU will be in pretty good shape this week.
Yeah, thank you, buddy.
See you, dude.
All right, so that is going to wrap up the interview there with Peter Burns of the SEC Network. I really do want to thank him for joining me. When we come back, we are going to dedicate this show to betting and all of the betting lines for the games tonight and the games all day tomorrow. And hey, we may even throw in just a little bit of NFL betting as well. That's on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Stingray Show. VSIN's Tim Murray joins us on the other side of this break. Who are you going to throw down a parlay on this weekend? Find out right after this. Ladies and gentlemen, Bill Ferguson of South's Finest Meats, the official sponsor of the Stingray Show, has a message for you.
Everything we do here is fresh and custom made, custom to order. You know, I tell people when they come in, you know, if you don't see what you like, ask somebody. You know, we've got the capability to process it, make it. You know, if you want a different blend of hamburger meat, we'll do your brisket blend. We'll do your chuck blend. We'll do your sirloin blend. You know, we do all that right here. We are a butcher shop. It's what we do. So please don't be afraid to ask if you don't see what you like. We can make you any size patty you want. We can make you any amount you want. You know, people call me and say, well, how many patties come in the box? Well, ma'am, how many would you like in a box? You know, you want 12, we'll put 12. You want 25, we'll put 25.
That's just one of the many things that South's Finest Meats has to offer, the official butcher shop of the Stingray Show. With all of the recent tornado damage and storm activity here in West Alabama, Alpha Insurance and hometown agent Jeff Nee can help you personalize your insurance needs. Remember, the more you protect, the more you save. With a helpful customer service team here to serve you in Alabama and over in Mississippi, you can count on Alpha to provide an insurance plan that provides the protection you need, the convenience you expect, and the service that you deserve. For all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs, call Alpha agent Jeff Nee at 205-758-2577. Once again, 758-2577, or drop by their office on McFarland Boulevard East, Suite 101 in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. And remember, Alpha agent Jeff Nee, the more you protect, the more you save.
At Tuscaloosa, never of the action. Download the free Tide 100.9 app today.
It's college football season, and what goes well with college football events? And if you have an event coming up and needs catering, let Certified Chef Jamie and the Coker Market do the event for you. Here are just some of the things that Coker Market have to offer for your catering needs. Pulled pork by the pound, chicken tenders by the dozen, smoked wings by the dozen, venison, or a half a slab of ribs, or a full slab of ribs. Contact Jamie and the Coker Market today, or better yet, go by there off of County Road 140 and let them help you take the hassle out of the catering needs for your event this upcoming football season. Welcome back inside the Stingray Show, and now we are going to get to our betting portion of this show. And Heath, we didn't have him join us last week because his schedule would not permit. However, we are about to be joined by Tim Murray, who is a part of the VSIN College Football Tailgate Show and VSIN Primetime as well. And VSIN is a betting company out of Las Vegas. Tim, how are things with you as we sit here with games tonight and then games on Saturday?
Oh, we're great. No, it's a great time of year with baseball wrapping up and you got pennant races and all of that. And then we're in the thick of it right now with these college football schedules. So fired up. Should be a great weekend. Last weekend was incredible, and hopefully we keep it rolling here because we got some loaded weekends ahead of us.
Tim, I have to ask you, because the last thing that you said when you left us was a huge game coming up last weekend for Notre Dame. Unfortunately, they fell to 0-2 on the season. Give us your thoughts and your recap of A&M and Notre Dame there in South Bend.
Yeah, I mean, you could look at it a lot of different ways. You know, for Mike Elko and company to get that win, that's a win that they don't have, and they have not had in many, many years. So to get that win, I think Mike Elko said it post-game to NBC, you know, that's a program-defining win. So, you know, they're able to get the victory. You know, I'm not going to cry over spilled milk, but there were some calls that probably should have gone against them on that final play. But, you know, it is what it is. Notre Dame should have made the stop. So, you know, now Texas A&M, you got this big win. What do you do with it? And, you know, so we'll see. I know they have a big one coming up next weekend, so we'll see if they keep it rolling. They get Auburn next weekend, so you know, yeah, it doesn't get easy in the SEC. On the flip side for Notre Dame, it's pretty wild to see the defense take this significant of a step back from what it was a year ago. Look, they did lose a lot of personnel. Xavier Watts, who was the Nagurski Award winner 2 years ago, a very big-time playmaking safety off to the NFL. They lost Benjamin Morrison at cornerback. They lost Jack Kaiser at linebacker, a couple of pieces up front, and Howard Cross and Riley Mills on the defensive line. But, you know, it's pretty surprising to me to see a defense just seemingly confused out there and missed assignments, missed tackles. So for Notre Dame, I know the question is going to be asked everywhere. If they run the table, will they be able to get in? I don't know, man. There's a lot of football still to be played. They got to go to Arkansas next week. They got USC still on the schedule. And when you look at that defense and you look at, you know, let's just use Arkansas, for example, the way Talon Green's been able to run the football so far and how Bobby Petrino's calling it up, that's not going to be an easy task for the Irish next week. So we'll see. I don't want to put the cart before the horse. If they get to 10-2, we can have the discussion. But that defense leaves a lot to be desired. And yeah, Marcus Freeman, who is a defensive-minded coach, obviously was a defensive coordinator before getting the head coaching job. I imagine he's going to have to step foot into that room a little bit more because he made a bad hire. Chris Ash is not doing what he's supposed to be doing as a defensive coordinator filling in for Al Golden, who left for the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yes. You know, Tim, I make that statement on the show all the time. A head coach is only good as his coordinator hires. You mess up that coordinator hire, it costs not only you your job, it costs everyone on the staff their job sometimes. But going back to last week, what game made the bookies smile most? What had the most action that got a little tilted in the bookies' favor?
Yeah, I would say, so every week we have on, I have on my show, the Tailgate Show, Chuck Esposito, who is a race and sportsbook director at a sportsbook here in Vegas. And he let me know last Saturday that the most lopsided play of the day was Oregon, plus the, laying the points at Northwestern. Well, guess what? They did not cover. So that was a an enjoyable result. And believe it or not, at least some of the books that I talked to, Miami dismantling South Florida was actually an enjoyable result as well, because people thought maybe that was too many points. So, yeah, I think those were good. I would say Notre Dame probably losing as well. Very good result for the book. Notre Dame, a pretty public team. Probably the perception was they would bounce back. They obviously did not. And, you know, when you have someone like Notre Dame as a 6.5-point home favorite lose, that blows up money line parlays and things like that, too. So I think Notre Dame losing outright certainly was a good result as well. But at least from some of the folks that I talked to, the fact that Northwestern was able to get that backdoor cover, I think was an enjoyable result for a lot of the sports books.
Good deal. Well, one game I've definitely got my eye on, just because I live in the Memphis area, I grew up in the Memphis area, and I know this Memphis-Arkansas game, I mean, Arkansas touches Memphis. I mean, they border each other. You know, the stadium is only 8 to 12 miles away from Arkansas. So this Memphis-Arkansas matchup, it's going to be heated. A lot of locals will get into it. How do you see this game? Who do you like?
Yeah, this is one of the games I had circled over the summer, just from a situational standpoint for Arkansas, knowing that they played Ole Miss last week and they have this massive game against Notre Dame. And it doesn't matter that Notre Dame's 0-2, hopefully 1-2 going into that game. But, you know, from what I, you know, who I've talked to down there in that Arkansas area, they've circled that Notre Dame game for a long, long time. That's going to be a great atmosphere, probably a very hot ticket. So you got to make sure you're not overlooking your opponent if you're Arkansas. So there was a thought that, hey, I'll probably be on Memphis here. I did take a little Memphis plus the points, not my favorite play of the week. And here's why. I just have been really impressed by what I've seen from Arkansas offensively. You know, Talen Green, a guy who started his career at Boise State, now down in Arkansas, really seems to be coming into his own, running that offense very well. Bobby Petrino is, in my mind, an elite offensive play caller, and we've seen that a number of stops. So I think Arkansas is going to be able to have a lot of success offensively, and it's going to be on Memphis to see if they can kind of muck this game up, control it. You know, normally I like these spots with this home dog and a good situational spot. And look, like I said, I still took the points a little bit here with Memphis, but definitely not my favorite play of the week. I've been impressed by what I've seen from Arkansas, and I think they'll be pretty focused for this game, even though on paper it looks like a pretty good sandwich spot coming off the Ole Miss loss and with Notre Dame waiting on deck.
Tim, I do want to ask you about the Friday slate. There are two games in college. One of them is Tulsa and Oklahoma State. The other one is Iowa at undefeated Rutgers. Both of those games are Friday evening. Which one do you like, and which one should we stay away from?
I mean, I don't know what to expect from Oklahoma State at this point. You know, that program has gone a long ways from where it once was. So hard one for me to kind of get my pulse on there. Tulsa losing last week by a couple of touchdowns to Navy. I know that was a spot where some people thought could be a pesky underdog in Tulsa. Yeah. Navy able to pull away late. You know, Indiana and Rutgers is an interesting one. Friday night there in New Jersey. You know, I think my gut would tell me to gravitate towards the under in this game between these two squads. In Iowa actually showed that they could score some points, albeit against UMass last week. But look, this is a team that I think has to be right now, when you think at all of the some of the quarterbacks that are thriving in their new situations, whether it be John Mateer at Oklahoma, Devin Dampier at Utah, who's obviously got a big one this weekend, or Carson Beck at Florida. Mark Gronowski, the highly touted FCS transfer from South Dakota State, just hasn't lived up to billing yet. We'll see if he can get there. So, yeah, when I look at that game on Friday night there in New Jersey, I probably would look a little bit towards the under in Rutgers, Iowa, but not a game I'm necessarily racing to play. I do think Greg Schiano, historically as a home underdog, is a guy that I would like to back. So probably would be a dog and under if I were to play Iowa and Rutgers.
So the Stingray Show is up against its final break of the evening. And when we come back, we are going to dive into the matchups tomorrow and which games you should bet on and which ones you shouldn't. That's on the other side of the break. And you're listening to the Stingray Show. We will finish it up right after this.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Monday edition of The Game, we'll recap everything Kayla DeBoer said, Ryan Grubb, and Kane Womack as we get you ready for the Georgia Bulldogs. We'll do the good, the bad, and the ugly, even though Alabama did not play, courtesy of Daniel Moore Art, right here, starting at 2 p.m. on The Game on Tide 100.9, 1230. WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The longest running sports program in Tuscaloosa. The Game with Ryan Fowler. Weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Has it always been your dream to build the pond of your dreams, but you don't know if property you own or are thinking about buying has a good location to build a pond on? You need to contact Honey Hole Fisheries right here in Tuscaloosa County, because Jeff Bagwell will help you decide if property you own or are thinking about buying has a good location to build a pond. You can contact Honey Hole Fisheries at 205-799-0192. Once again, that is 799-0192. And hey, Jeff Bagwell can also order top quality automatic fish and hunting feeders for all of your outdoor recreation. Contact Jeff Bagwell today, once again at 205-799-0192, to help you build the pond or lake of your dreams. With all of the recent tornado damage and storm activity here in West Alabama, Alpha Insurance and hometown agent Jeff Nee can help you personalize your insurance needs. Remember, the more you protect, the more you save. With a helpful customer service team here to serve you in Alabama and over in Mississippi, you can count on Alpha to provide an insurance plan that provides the protection you need, the convenience you expect, and the service that you deserve. For all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs, call Alpha agent Jeff Nee at 205-758-2577. Once again, 758-2577. Or drop by their office on McFarland Boulevard East, Suite 101 in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. And remember, Alpha agent Jeff Nee, the more you protect, the more you save.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. And watch for construction on Skyland Boulevard between I-359 and Buttermilk Road. Traveling south on Highway 69 from Skyland Boulevard to Old Greensboro Road, it's a 6-minute drive. Eastbound on McFarland from Coker to Jack Warner Parkway, it's a 13-minute drive. North on Lurleen Wallace from 15th Street to McFarland, it's a 5-minute drive. With your Tuscaloosa traffic now, I'm Lisa Bakke.
Want to know what's going on with the Crimson Tide? Download the Tide 100.9 app today.
And with that, I want to welcome you back inside the final segment of this edition of the Stingray Show. And let's finish up talking about the full slate of games tomorrow and which games you should bet on.
We're looking at the biggest game in the SEC this week, Auburn and Oklahoma.
Yeah.
What do you know? What do you like?
Yeah, I mean, when you look at Auburn, this is a team that the injury report doesn't seem too kind, right? They've got a couple of pieces, defensive end and a cornerback that were listed as doubtful for this game. I know Oklahoma's got some injuries on the offensive line. Obviously, the big storyline, and you'll hear about it, I'm sure, a million times on the broadcast, as you should, is the return of Jackson Arnold. And look, Oklahoma deserves a ton of credit for what they've done so far this year. This is a defense that looks like it's the real deal. You know, they go up to Temple last week, which is a sleepy environment. You'd think, all right, this is a game where they kind of, you know, sleepwalked their way to a 20-point win, and they went out and they dominated Temple, and that was really impressive. I mean, everything about that game was an absolute domination by Oklahoma. And once again, you could roll your eyes and say it was Temple, but think about the situation, right? You play Michigan, College Game Day, big game on ABC, you win the game, you've got Auburn on deck, and you've got to go travel to Philadelphia to play Temple, and they took care of business with ease. So that was an impressive performance to me, just to show the maturity of this football program right now. I think if I had to play it right now, I probably would lean a little bit towards Auburn. We are starting to see those sevens show up right now. So you're starting to see money come in on Oklahoma even more. So, you know, I think Auburn's got some playmakers outside with Singleton and Cam Coleman. And, you know, if they're healthy, I think Cam Coleman showed up on the injury report. I think he was listed as questionable. But, you know, for Auburn, against Baylor, they just ran the football, and that was fine. I hear you're going to be forced to throw the ball against Oklahoma, and we'll see if they're able to make those plays. And there's a reason they went out and got arguably the best portal receiver in the country in Eric Singleton. So Jackson Arnold's going to be juiced up. The environment's not going to scare him necessarily. I think this is going to be a great one. And at 7, I think I'd have to lean towards taking the points with Auburn here against Oklahoma.
With the morning slate there on Saturday, who are some games that you really like?
A couple games that jump out here. You know, first off, you got the Iron Skillet showdown between SMU and TCU, and this looks to be, I believe, the last matchup for a while between these two rivals who have played, I want to say, over 100 times. SMU has been a bit disappointing so far on the year. Josh Hoover and company had that emphatic statement to start the year against North Carolina, and then since then it's kind of been out of sight, out of mind. So always a fun one, revenge on the mind. I think SMU put up like 60 some odd points a year ago on TCU, so certainly an intriguing one in that particular spot. You get the bounce back spot maybe from Clemson, or is this a team that is just kind of going to pack it in? So, you know, Clemson and Syracuse, you had Dabo, you know, cutting a promo earlier this week at his press conference talking about, if you could do better than me, I'll leave. You know, I could find better things to do. So I'm always curious when you see a press conference like that, how does his team respond to that? Are they going to rally together? Or is this a situation where you just kind of had your guts ripped out against Georgia Tech and now it's an uphill climb to find to get all the way to the conference championship game? You know, one game that I actually do like, and it's a bit off the radar in that early window, we talked about Arkansas-Memphis. Obviously, that's a game that I find very, very intriguing there. Utah and Texas Tech is fascinating. But from a betting standpoint, like I said, this is a bit of a deep cut. I like Miami of Ohio against UNLV. You know, UNLV, you look at the start of their season, they're 3-0. They struggled against FCS Idaho State. Okay, that's fine. You can live with that. You beat Sam Houston State, who we have learned is not a very good football team whatsoever in their first year of Phil Longo as their head coach. And then they beat UCLA, and that was not a dominant performance over UCLA. And then, once again, you kind of play the revisionist history because UCLA goes out the following week and gets absolutely embarrassed by New Mexico. So you start to think, all right, maybe this UNLV team might be a little bit flawed. Miami, on the flip side, offensively, they have struggled quite a bit. They got shut out in their season opening loss to Wisconsin. They lose two weeks ago, to Rutgers. They have a bye week, unique home spot, 9 a.m. for UNLV, kind of that body clock game. And once again, you know, sometimes the number tells the story, right? UNLV opened as a 3.5-point favorite, went down to 2.5. And that's not your average Joe better betting that particular game in that noon Eastern window. So I think Miami of Ohio wins the game. I'll take the points with Miami, but I think that's a pretty interesting one, at least for me from a betting standpoint. But I think the game of the early window, no doubt, is Utah-Texas Tech. Both of these teams are trying to figure out what they are. Texas Tech 136 out of 136 in strength of schedule right now through the first three games of the season. And then on the flip side, Utah hasn't really played anyone either. Their win over UCLA, once again, they open up the season with a embarrassing performance, embarrassing their opponent, I should say, in UCLA. So this one should be fun. 10 a.m. local kick, which I don't love, but I think Utah probably prevails in that spot.
Tim, what about midday and then the nightcap?
We talked to Auburn, Oklahoma. Certainly an intriguing game there with the return of Jackson Arnold. Also in that midday slot, you've got Michigan at Nebraska. You know, year three of Matt Rhule, certainly a big spot here. Bryce Underwood's already been tested on the road. He went to Oklahoma. Now another opportunity for a true freshman to go on the road to a pretty hostile environment. I don't want to say it's a must-have, but this is a big game for Nebraska. Yeah. You got to kind of prove that, hey, Matt Rhule is in this spot. You know, he's going to be rolling here. So very intrigued by look at that game. And then, look, Tulane and Ole Miss, I beg your pardon. I think this one's going to be pretty fascinating. Are we going to see Austin Simmons back? Looked pretty banged up and hampered with that ankle injury. And Tulane, you know, very much fighting for that G5 berth. You think about what they've done so far. Tulane wins over two power four teams, albeit Duke and Northwestern, but they're trying to build that resume up. South Florida off to a great start with that win over Florida and Boise State. Now, if you're Tulane and you're able to pull off this upset, you now have the leg up on a team like South Florida. So I think that's a pretty big one there in that afternoon slate. The night slate's great. I mean, you've got Florida, Miami, you've got Illinois and Indiana, you've got Arizona State, Baylor.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, I think the night slate is great. I think the Florida-Miami game intrigues me the most, guys. Just what is Florida going to do? They're kind of seemingly in this tailspin. Everybody's calling for Sunbelt Billy Napier to be fired here. But can they rally behind him? And, you know, DJ Lagway, can he bounce back after that putrid performance a week ago, throwing five interceptions against LSU? The crazy thing, guys, about that LSU game is that Florida actually outgained LSU in that loss. So Miami may very well be the best team in the country. I'm not putting it out of my mind here. They are loaded talent-wise. We talked about coordinator hires. I think Mario Cristobal has hit a home run with Corey Heatherman coming in from Minnesota. The defense looks like the real deal, but I think Florida keeps that thing competitive. I really do. And, you know, I'm very happy to eat crow. I'm not be the first, won't be the last. But I think Florida has a chance to keep that competitive down there in kind of a last stand opportunity, because we know what's waiting down the pipeline. If you're 1-3, you've got Texas, you've got Texas A&M. This thing could get bad real fast. So right. I think you get a really good effort from Florida here on Saturday night.
Tim, look, man, thank you for coming on to give us a little bit of insight about betting. And before we let you go, briefly, because I know you've got to get on another show, give us who you like and think would be a good one to bet on for the NFL on Sunday.
Yeah, I like ugly dogs, so we'll go to the dog pound. I'll take the Browns plus 7.5 or 8 against the Green Bay Packers.
Okay.
Packers have been phenomenal so far this year, 2-0 straight up, 2-0 ATS. But you got to grow a little hair on your chest every once in a while. So I'll take an ugly dog in the dog pound. I think Cleveland can kind of utilize that defense to ugly this thing up. And I'll take the points here with the Cleveland Browns on Sunday.
Tim, thank you. I know that your schedule is jam-packed. Thank you for giving us 20 minutes of your time, and we will catch you next week.
All right. See you guys.
Thanks,
Bill.
So, Heath, briefly, to wrap up the Stingray Show, who do you have on upset alert in week number 4? I will go on ahead and give you mine. I have Nebraska beating Michigan outright for Matt Rhule's first signature win there for the Cornhuskers.
You know, Steven, I believe Miami's a great team. I believe Miami is loaded. I believe Miami could win a national title.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be shocked if that game gets really ugly and really close with Florida this week. We've seen Billy Napier do this a trillion times. We have seen Billy Napier do this a trillion times. The reason I don't like him to do it this time around, I think he's got an injured quarterback and he's been hiding it from us.
Yes.
And I don't think he can hide it too much longer. And I think there's just going to be a flux situation. It's going to be in flux. So I don't know. But I'm going to watch that Florida-Miami game, and I'm not going to be shocked if that thing's closed in the fourth quarter.
All right. So that is going to wrap up the Fun Friday edition of the Stingray Show. Really hope that you guys have enjoyed Peter Burns and then Tim Murray to finish up talking about betting for this weekend, college football, and a little bit of NFL when we come back on Monday. It is going to be a full recap of week number 4 and a preview next week of Alabama and Georgia. That is a monumental game here in the season so far for college football, and we will see you this weekend. Have a wonderful weekend out there. Catch you guys on Monday at 6 p.m., and we are done.